Well, we spent several weeks in the wedding in Canaan. I can't tell you that we won't come back to it from time to time if the Lord shows me some stuff. But again, my whole journey here is not to teach a Bible study. Is I'm just spending time with the Lord in John and moving along as God shows me things about his love for us, uniquely that, his character, his nature, his love for us, that, or love for me, I'm just going to pass that along. And so again, I want you to hear these verses. There's not that many. This is verse 13 of John 2. And the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. You'll notice in your Bibles, anytime they went to Jerusalem, even if they were north, it's always going up, because that's the place where you encounter God. Particularly the temple was the place where God uniquely lived in the Jewish mindset, where it was called the Father's house. Jesus references again. So if I said this is Bracken's house and you go there, you intend to visit with Bracken. So the whole point of the temple was visitation with the Father, to have an encounter with the Father. Not just worship, but it's a place of worship, but a place of encounter. So it says in verse 14, and he found in the temple those selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated. I'll tell you about that in just a second. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a house of merchandise. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. That's a quote from Psalm 69. Let me read that to you, as a matter of fact. It's a special place in my life. Many years ago, I won't tell you the whole story, but I had one of those dreams that was a God dream. And in the dream, over and over again, I kept hearing Psalm 69:9, Psalm 69:9, Psalm 69:9. And I'd wake up and go to sleep, and it would continue. And there were scenes that went on in the dream, but this is verse 9. For zeal for thy house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Now, what happened in the temple was this. Now, this is the Passover, and also this is the first of two of these incidents that occurred. The one recorded in Mark and in Matthew and Luke are just before Jesus' crucifixion. This is at the beginning of his ministry. So Jesus cleansed the temple twice. It was in the second cleansing of the temple where Jesus said, you have made, this is supposed to be a house of prayer or a house of worship, a house of encounter, but you've made it into a den of thieves. Here he says, you've made this house into a house of merchandise. He never says about it being a house of prayer, because it's understood that when people came, whether it's for the Passover or any other time of celebration and feasting in the Lord, that the temple was uniquely the place where he said, this is my Father's house. This is where the Father lives. This is where you uniquely encounter the Father. This is where you uniquely pray. This is where you uniquely worship him. Now, the Passover was the most important of all the feasts, of course, because it's the time when the atonement was made, when the blood was over the doorpost, so the people were saved from the death angel that came and destroyed so many of the Egyptians just before their deliverance out of Egypt. So what would happen historically is this. You were supposed to offer an unblemished animal. It could be sheep. It could be oxen. And if you were poor, you would offer doves. If you remember in Luke, Mary and Joseph offered doves, because they were poor. They offered that which cost the least because they didn't have much. But it meant the same to them. If you only have a nickel, and you pay your 4 cents for a dove, you've given as much as somebody with $1 million who paid $900,000 for whatever. But the Pharisees, and not just the Pharisees, but the Jewish leaders had set up a system that was very corrupt. And so no matter what you did to present your animal, you would bring it to them and it had to pass inspection. And they would declare it as unclean, not perfect enough. But they would sell you, if you were rich enough to present an oxen, they would sell you what they've already certified, stamped and certified, USDA, stamped and certified as clean. Therefore, it can be offered. Or if, yes. And if you brought a sheep, they would always say that it was not clean, it was not perfect enough, and then they would sell you one that was. Same thing to the poor. Now, it's unique that even in this one and the second one, Jesus had a heart for the poor because it says something that he stopped and particularly was upset about the money changers and the dove and the those who sold the doves. And he says in verse 16, and to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a house of merchandise. So what does this say to us? One of the things it sort of course says to us is how upset Jesus was with the spiritual corruption. That people were taken advantage of, that they were making money off of them, and the Lord doesn't like that. The Lord doesn't like the whole message in the church today where those who are in leadership, they make you promises based on them really profiting off of it. It's not a God thing. It's a uniquely Western thing. But more importantly, this is something that's so significant for all of us. They were saying to all the people that no matter what you bring and no matter what it costs you, it's not good enough for you to be in the Father's house to worship him and to encounter him, to have a visitation with the Father. That's important for you to hear that. Because it still goes on today. Christians are often told by the enemy that they're not good enough. They've not been perfect enough. Their walk's not been consistent enough to be able to encounter the Lord, to visitation with him, to fellowship with him, to even offer him worship. When we come together in church or in a small group, whatever, and we're worshiping, that there's something tainted about our worship because it's not perfect enough. It's not pure enough. Our walk has not been good enough. You hear me? That happens all the time. I see it happen to worship leaders. I see it happen to people on worship teams who feel like they just don't have anything to offer. They get distracted because there's something not quite right. Maybe they had an argument with somebody at home before they came or whatever, and they've been told by the enemy, therefore you can't offer. God will not accept your worship because it's not perfect enough. Jesus has a zeal for the house of the Lord. And that zeal consumed him. Consumed him in what way? It even took him to the cross. What do I mean by that? Jesus came. Remember what he said to Nathanael in chapter 1? He said to Nathanael, look, you believe. You've been provoked to believe because I said to you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. But let me tell you, I'm going to tell you what I believe. That you're going to see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, what was Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, I'm going to be an open heaven between God and man. And I'm going to be the place where men and women encounter God. And it's got nothing to do with what perfect sacrifice or perfect walk you have to offer God. It's only got to do with who I am. And my nearness and my intimacy with God. You hear me? That's what Jesus came to do, is to establish fellowship with man and God. God reconciled himself to us in Christ. Christ came, did the Father's part, did God's part and our part in healing our broken relationship. And he became the open heaven. So it's important. I know I've noticed lately when I say that word, get away from the charismatic concept. Well, that means I get to the Spirit, signs and wonders. And I'm talking about he is your open relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit is Christ. It's because you're in Christ. And you have his relationship with the Father and his relationship with the Holy Spirit. This verse, I think I quoted a couple weeks ago, is one of the most important ones in the New Testament. This is chapter 2, verse 5 of 1 Timothy. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now think about this. One mediator between God and man, and he says, the man Christ Jesus. It's important that he said that. That when Jesus clothed himself with humanity, man and God met. And Jesus became our open heaven. Jesus became our place of worship. Jesus is our place of worship. Jesus is our worship. When I come and I've the Lord and we come together to worship like yesterday or like today, I'm not counting on my acceptance and my ability to have visitation to encounter God based on my performance. I'm confident that I can fellowship with him no matter what I feel, no matter where my thoughts are running, because of his perfect relationship with the Father. And he has connected my imperfection to the Father's perfection in him. And I fellowship because I'm in union with him. He's forever the God-man. And my union with him and his humanity forever places me in a position to experience the Father. He is my experience with the Father. His experience with the Father is my experience with the Father. I've said this a bunch of times. There's no way I can overstate it. Your new birth is that you've been grafted into the very sonship of Jesus. And his fellowship with the Father is yours. His worship is yours. And as I offer the squeak of worship sometimes because in my humanity you've been beaten up or stuff's going on or you blew it, in Christ, what I offer is his worship. Jesus just joins it to him. In my walk with God, Jesus, I'm joined to him. And so you see, in that, it draws me out of stuff and junk because of the wonder of all that. See, that grace and that freedom causes me to want to go, wow, I don't want to do that anymore because of how good he is to me. Isn't that true? Isn't that how we are? The law doesn't ever, ever, ever provoke a person to holiness. Grace does. And so when it says here in John 2, we'll probably hang out here more this week, when he cleansed the house, he has a zeal for the Father's house. It consumes him because Jesus is consumed. He came consumed with the idea. That's what he's telling Nathaniel. I am the open heaven. I am your connection. I am your acceptance with the Father. You have my anointing with the Holy Spirit. Nothing changes that. I can't add anything to it. And even in the most broken moment, whether you're home or you're walking or driving the car, and you think you can't know intimacy, you can't approach because of failure, you understand that your intimacy has nothing to do. Nothing to do with who you are and your performance. You are now the house of the Lord. And it's in Him that you have intimacy, because you have His intimacy. Jesus is your open heaven. You don't have to offer a perfect sacrifice. Jesus was that. You don't have to offer a perfect relationship. Jesus is that. And it's in Him we get to experience a life of perpetual encounter. You with me?
Yep.
You say, well, doesn't it make it like, okay, you can just go sin because it doesn't matter? No, it makes sin matter all the more. It makes you want to, in such gratitude, go, all grace makes you want to make sure that He has all of me.
Amen.
That's what grace does. Hope that makes sense, what I'm saying. You understand what Jesus said at the beginning of the book. You think that was cool? Wait till you see the fact that I'm going to be your open heaven. God and you are going to come together in me. It is all based on my relationship with Him. No more having to offer perfect sacrifices so you have fellowship, intimacy with Him. Jesus is our perfect relationship. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.